Hebrews 13 verse 8 says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And I want us to consider that tonight. It's the text that we have in the relief sculpture in the church hall next door in Gaelic and in English and in the Greek in which it was written. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And this verse stands almost without obvious connection with the verses around it, as though it was just something that the writer really wanted to make sure that he'd said before he's written and the rest of his letter, before he's finished it. Jesus Christ is the same, but the world is changing. I was thinking, indeed I was talking with Murdo Nan about this a wee while ago, just how the world has changed in the time since they got married and the time since I came here as minister. How the world has changed in those short, not quite 30 years. Society has changed. Society is wealthier. Well, the money isn't always shared around in a fair way. People are living longer, and they expect to live longer. They're less aware of death as a reality and less able to deal with it. People are busy. They're busier than ever, and they're busier than ever doing less than ever. Busy with social media, busy playing games. People know more, but they're less wise, and they're more confused. Political structures are more accountable, but they're less principled. And nowadays in society, everyone gets to shout and moan about their human rights, and minorities rule the majority. The world is changing, and it has changed for the church as well. The church used to have an assured place and an assumed place in its communities. Nowadays, its place is constantly challenged. The church used to be able to assume that the society had a sense of a Christian morality. Nowadays, that just is not the case. Society has a constantly shifting morality because society doesn't really know what right and wrong is anymore. And as far as people going to church and therefore going to where they're going to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's not a general habit in the population in the way that it was in the past. The church used to be automatically respected, and so did other institutions, but respect is in short supply today. There have been too many scandals and too many painful episodes, splits and so on, and respect for the church is far less, and it has to be earned rather than assumed. So we are living in a rapidly changing society, and a society which can look very different to the society that the older among you remember when you were young. Is anything the same? Is there anything that you can look to find an anchor point, to find stability in your life? Well, we don't stay the same as people, do we? We change. And our society, as I've said, is changing. And the church itself changes. And the community changes all the time. Now, sometimes people do try and keep some of these the same. Like, sometimes people try and keep the church the same. And we have churches that attempt to do that. And when we try to keep the church the same, it just stagnates. So what is there that is ever the same but ever fresh? What is there that is ever constant but ever new? What is there that we can constantly rely upon to stabilize and give a compass point for our lives? Well, the answer in the scriptures here is that it's Jesus. There is one whom we can rely upon who stays the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. We're talking about a living person. We're talking about Jesus who lived in this world and who died for our sins and who rose from the dead and who is at the right hand of God and has been there for the past 2,000 or so years. He is a living person. That means he is constantly fresh, constantly full of life and power and energy. But he is consistent. He is the same. He is reliable. He is faithful. He is stable. So tonight, this verse is inviting you and me to trust him. Other things that we've trusted have let us down. But we can trust Jesus because whatever he is, he always will be. Whatever he's promised, he always will keep. Jesus is ready for whatever changes come to our lives and to our society, to the church. He is stable. What he was and what he is and what he ever will be is sufficient to face every crisis and every situation that happens in human life. He is the same. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. And that authority is expressed, among other ways, through his word. The Bible that we read is therefore the most relevant book. Because Jesus is the same, it doesn't go out of date. The Bible is a book we should be reading constantly. Because while everything else has its fashions and everything else comes and goes, the truth of the Bible is timeless and it reveals to us a constant Jesus. Because Jesus is the same, the gospel doesn't change. The way to God doesn't change. There isn't a new way to God that wasn't there in the past. And the way to God that there was in the past, that the Bible describes, is the same way to God today. Anyone whom we detect bringing a new way that the Bible doesn't describe is a liar and a deceiver. The Bible tells us about the gospel, that no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. Well, that's always going to be the way. So the church's message must never change. Any church that changes its message, any church that says, well, people don't like to hear about sin anymore. They don't like to hear about a crucified Savior anymore. They don't like to hear about miracles like the resurrection anymore. And any church that changes its message because of the fashions of human thinking changing has lost its way. The gospel message doesn't change, even though society changes, and sometimes society will be sympathetic to the gospel, and sometimes society will be profoundly hostile to it. That doesn't mean we change the message. The gospel stays the same. The message stays the same. And we continue to tell people that message because it's the only way that they're ever going to come to God through, and they need to hear it, whether they want to hear it or not. They need to hear it. The hope that we have as Christians remains the same as well, because Jesus is the same. Yeah, the world is changing, but Jesus is the same. And as we sang in Psalm 96, Jesus is coming to judge the world. And as we thought about this morning, he is coming to renew the world, but he is the same. And our hope, that was the hope of the Christians 2,000 years ago, is the same hope, and will always be the same hope, and it's a hope that will be fulfilled. The hope of the Lord Jesus coming, and of the Lord Jesus bringing his kingdom and his glory to the world. That means also that because Jesus is the same, we can learn from the past. As verse 7 speaks about leaders who spoke the word of God to us, and considering the outcome of their way of life and imitating their faith. That means that even if those leaders lived in the age of our grandparents, or if they lived 400 years ago at the time of maybe the Reformation, or if they lived in the time of Columba, or whenever they lived, we can learn from them, because while they lived in different situations and different societies and different cultures, and they were different kinds of people, their Jesus was the same, and they were being led and shepherded by the same Jesus that we are being led and shepherded by tonight. So it's good for us to read Christian story, Christian biography, to know that even though it's often describing very different circumstances to our own today, tonight, because the gospel doesn't change, because the Christian message doesn't change, because Jesus doesn't change, because human need doesn't change, we can learn from our leaders and from those who taught the faith in the past. 2,000 years ago, the church looked incredibly different to what it looks today. And I think Christians are often tempted to think that the church has to look a certain way, especially if we've only got experience of one kind of church expression. And if our only experience of church is the Free Church in Kyle, then we may think that's the way church has to be. But then we go on our holidays, and we go to a Baptist church somewhere else, for example. Or we end up in a Pentecostal church. Just some different expression of church. Or maybe it's another free church, but it's quite different. And we realise that Christians are a very rich and diverse group of people. So that even though they do preach the same message and the same gospel, they may approach how they worship, and they may approach how they fellowship together, and they may approach just even how they put up their buildings and how they order their services in very, very different ways. But Jesus is the same. We can be confident, therefore, even when changes have to take place, and even when changes take place in the church that we're part of, because he's not going to change. And if we have a relationship with him, then we know that whatever changes, our relationship with him remains. In any case, I think sometimes we can overstate how much things have changed. If you read through these first few verses in Hebrews 13, you realise there's a lot going on there that doesn't really look that different to things today. In verse 1, we still have to love. We still have to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. In verse 2, we read that 2,000 years ago they were to entertain people. They were to show hospitality. Well, we still have to do that. In verse 3, we read that sometimes Christians were in prison, and sometimes Christians were ill-treated, and that we need to remember them and to support them and to pray for them. Well, that's the same today as well, sadly. In verse 4 we read about the institution of marriage, that it should be honoured and kept pure. And that's exactly the same today. However, there is adultery and there is sexual immorality 2,000 years ago, and so there is today. That hasn't really changed. In verse 5 we read that 2,000 years ago people were tempted to love money and to be discontent. Well, that hasn't changed either, has it? We live in a society where people are also tempted to love money and to be discontented about what they have. In verse 7, we read about faithful leaders, and they have led and they've left an example. Well, we still have leaders today whom we want to esteem and whose example we want to follow. In verse 9, we read about strange teachings. Well, that's the way it was 2,000 years ago. There were strange teachings on the go. Well, lo and behold, today there are still strange teachings. So some things do stay the same, even though the way that they actually appear may be quite different from generation to generation. But the golden thread that runs through time is not then that everything in society is constant, or that everything about people is the same, or everything about the church is the same. The golden thread that runs through history is that whether things are changing or whether things are staying the same for a time or whatever's happening, Jesus Christ is the same. Our Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The word order actually originally goes like this. It says, Jesus Christ, yesterday and today, the same, and forever. That seems like literally what it says. Jesus Christ, yesterday and today, the same. So we know about him already, says the writer, what he was like in the past and what he's like today. He's the same. But we can also know that he'll be the same forevermore in the future. So, what the writer wrote about nearly 2,000 years ago in Hebrews, the Jesus he's written about beautifully in the book of Hebrews, is the same for us today, and he'll be the same forever. And by that we especially mean that Jesus tonight is the same in his character. He's not any longer the humbled Jesus that we read about in the Gospels. He's the risen and the glorified Jesus. So that's changed about him, but his character hasn't changed. Everything he said hasn't changed. Every contour of his grace and his truth hasn't changed. Time hasn't changed Jesus. The passage of time hasn't eroded Jesus' commitment to you and to me. Tonight, our Jesus is still rescuing lost souls. He's still calling people like us to himself. He's still forgiving your sins. He's still praying at the right hand of the Father for us. He's still honouring whenever we put our faith and trust in him. He's still sending his Holy Spirit to his church. He's still doing great things, wonders in the world. Tonight, Jesus Christ is the same Jesus in his character, in his word, in his authority, in his power. So I want just to close by speaking to the person who may be perplexed tonight. Maybe you'd like your life to be simpler. I would. Would you like your life to be simpler? Would you like your life to be less complicated with so many different tasks and demands and sources of information. It's hard to get your head around all that's happening. We know far too much really today. We know about too many things. We can't process it all. We can't handle it all. And we keep so many plates spinning. Wouldn't you like your life to be simpler? Wouldn't you like to cling to the simpler ways perhaps of the past? The way things were. And wouldn't we like the church to be like that? Just to be the one place we could come to and we would know that nothing had changed. But if we're thinking like that, and we're looking to the church to provide stability, we're looking in the wrong place. Because the verse does not say the church the same yesterday, today, and forever. The passage says that it's Jesus who's the same. And if we want to simplify our lives, then we need to remember what the Lord Jesus said to Martha about Mary. So Martha is the perplexed one, the confused one, the one who's running around. And Jesus says you're worried and you're troubled about many things. That sounds familiar. And at his feet sits Mary. And she's decided that what she needs is Jesus. And she's going to put away all the clutter of life and just focus 100% on Jesus because he's there. What a privilege. He's physically present in her home. So there's not time to be rushing around. And she just sits there and loves the fellowship and the teaching of our Lord. And Jesus says to Martha, who's running around, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things. Really, only one thing is needful, he says. And Mary has chosen that good part that will not be taken away from her. And what's she chosen? She's chosen the one thing that doesn't change. The one thing that's going to be constant in life. She's chosen Jesus. And she's chosen to love him and to wait upon him and to listen to him and to be built up in his fellowship and presence. And that's what we need to do. If we want to simplify our lives, then we need to spend more time with Jesus. Because he is not going to perplex us by bringing in lots of innovations and changes and be saying, you know how I promised that yesterday? Well, I've changed my mind. Doesn't do that. Jesus isn't bringing updates all the time to his word. Jesus' word stands forever. Jesus' character stands forever. And when you come into his presence, you know where you stand. You know the way things are. And you know you're not going to be confused. You know that you're not going to have your life complicated. Jesus will simplify your life because he doesn't change. For all of us, there is a change coming, a great change. And that change is when we must leave this world. You can't avoid that change. It might frighten you, but it doesn't need to. Jesus is the same. The Jesus who said to the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise, is a Jesus who can reassure us as we go through our lives and think about the future so that we don't need to be all our lives held in slavery by the fear of death. Because he'll be with us. He'll be with us tomorrow and he'll be with us the next day and he'll be with us when that change in our lives comes, when we must go through the gates into the presence of God. And be with us into the new heavens and the new earth, into the resurrection and the glory that follows. He'll be the one constant thing. And if our focus is on him, we'll always be on familiar ground in our lives, no matter what's changing around us. Because our Jesus does not change. We come to him then for the peace that the world cannot give. So you read in your Bibles that one day on the Jericho road, a blind man called out to Jesus for mercy. And you read that Jesus healed him, don't you? Well, it's the same Jesus tonight. You also can call out to him for mercy and find it from him. Like Bartimaeus, just forget what the crowd sees and call to him. And he'll stop everything for you. And be still and listen and attend to the needs of your heart. That's our Saviour. You read in your Bibles about a tax collector called Matthew. More than likely, like the rest, he was focused on money and not too bothered about how he made it. But then one day Jesus passed by and called him to follow. Same Jesus tonight. He's calling you to follow him. He's coming alongside you and me, and he's saying, I know your life, I know who you are, I know what you're like, but that doesn't stop me from asking you to follow me, whoever you are. And if you think that story is just for a long time ago, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He's still calling you, as he called Matthew, to follow you, to follow him. And you can do so. You can hear his call and receive his life today. So if you read in the Bible about Jesus' invitations to the thirsty, to the weary, to the heavily burdened, then don't read them as historic interest only. Read them us now, because it's the same Jesus yesterday and today and forever. And think to yourself, well, if it's the same Jesus, then I'm thirsty, or I'm weary, or I'm heavily burdened. And just as people came to him long time ago and received rest, I too can come to him tonight and receive rest. It's a perplexing world and it's a changing world. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And you come to him now, just as others came to him in the past. And he will not let you down, because he's the same Saviour today. Amen.